And is somebody listening to this thinks I did an awful job editing just there, and that I didn't just go completely off left field while
there is no editing in this podcast.
Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 69, dude.
69, dude!
And we will be jumping off of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And it came out in some year in the 80s?
It's like 89?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
I think it was 89. And then Bogus Journey was 91.
And it's a time-traveling romp with Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, and...
George Carlin.
And George Carlin. Yes, among others. But
yes.
Those are what have become the big names at this point. Well, Alex Winter kind of went away, but...
Yeah. It's got Keanu Reeves and George Carlin in it.
There you go.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, no,
Carlin anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, I love Keanu Reeves.
He kind of has a Nicolas Cage thing going on where it's either going to be
a phenomenal movie or a terrible movie.
Just stay away.
Yeah, but like, unlike Nicolas Cage, Keanu Reeves is just a good dude. Like he to stay on theme,
he's not just a Coppola. Yeah,
no, he's not a Coppola. He's a good dude. But he is. Like, he was in town, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, like, in Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
And people I know just saw him downtown. Like, he went out to eat. Not at, like, the fancy restaurants. He was at, like, Liberty Tap Room having a burger and a beer.
Did they see him and, like, go, whoa. Because that's what the meme would have them do.
Actually, yes. Like, my friend was like, oh, my God, Keanu Reeves is at my bar. Whoa. And I don't know what to say to him. Whoa.
Do not. Try to come up with any line out of any movie he's ever been in.
No.
He's heard it. He's tired of it.
Yeah, and he just wants his beer and his burger.
Just talk to him like a human.
Yeah. Be nice to Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Support your local Keanu Reeves. Be nice to your local Keanu Reeves. But, the movie, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, I haven't seen this movie in probably 15 years.
It's a comedy take on Doctor Who.
It really is.
Time travel tropes that have been around since literally the 60s.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're traveling through time in a phone box. That's not stolen from any BBC series at all.
No, of course not.
So.
With a strange guy in it that has weird powers.
Yeah, but he goes away, so.
Yeah, he sort of
And it's not bigger on the inside in
no,
this one.
No, it is not bigger on the inside. Not in the least. You're cramming people into this sumbitch.
But it's an absurd premise.
And it absolutely
would not work in real life ever.
No, their crappy little band becomes like the foundation for the utopian society.
Well, after the second movie, because that's when they finally, they go time traveling to go learn their instruments for a couple of years and then come back.
Yeah.
Which is one of the pitfalls of the Bill and Ted, universe is the... Oh, yeah, we just have to remember to go come back and put this here. Oh, I did steal my dad's keys.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of those things that can be argued against.
It is. And I mean, heavily. And it's funny.
But it's a comedy.
Right, it's a comedy. It's really just a show. I should really just relax.
Time travel is absurd. Let us show you why.
But it's funny because my inner nerd is sitting there going,
"Oh no.
They're just shitting all over the timeline here."
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like they're contaminating the timeline. They should really stop before Paradox develops.
It's funny. Last night was Halloween. I don't know when you guys are listening to this, but the last house we went to, my son went as Batman. And the last house we went to, we were leaving the porch, and this little kid dressed as Batman runs up. Very similar outfit.
Right.
I said to the other parent, who I do not believe understood what I was saying, but I said, "Do not let the Batmans touch. It'll be a time paradox."
Wow. To which that other parent was like,
"What the fuck is
he talking
about?
This guy?" Yeah,
don't let the Batmans touch.
Yeah.
It'll be the end of the universe.
Yeah. We can't kill all the Batmans just because two different timeline Batmans does.
Exactly.
That's not cool. But so they shit all over the timeline.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And go back and meet some interesting characters.
Well,
and, then...
and that's one of those tenets of Doctor Who is you can't go back and change your own timeline, which they throw out the window in this one.
Oh yeah,
and you know they kind of throw out the window in the Back to the Future series as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, sleep with his own mother or something weird. Like it's
maybe.
Oh,
didn't sleep with her, but yeah.
Like, maybe.
But she wanted to. Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need any kind of Oedipus. There, at least there's no like weird Oedipal like scenes.
You do understand that in the final scene when when Freud asks is it Bill or Ted? It's the blonde head one is Bill?
It's Bill.
Okay. Yes. When he asked Bill, you know,
Are you next?
Yeah. And he said, no, I just have some minor Oedipal complexes.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, because his
well,
his stepmom is like 3 years older than...
Right. Yeah, that's not an Oedipal complex. Like, that's... If he's going after some like 50-year-old chick or his own mother, that's an Oedipal complex. Okay. Yeah,
Oedipus Rex. I have not read it. I just know where it comes from. Anyway,
I have read it. It's weird. It's fucking weird.
It involves fucking your mother. Yes.
Yeah. Just a bunch of motherfuckers.
Damn Greeks.
This
or
book,
Romans or whatever it was. Yeah.
Oedipus review, 5 words. This book is full of motherfuckers.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. The book's just a whole bunch of motherfuckers.
More motherfuckers than Father's Day.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But no, I don't know. Like I said, it was a fun, kind of lighthearted romp. I had a great time watching it. I did not watch Bogus Journey.
I think they both hold up. You know, they are still what they were.
Yeah.
And... You know, that is not the case for so many movies.
Oh God,
where,
no!
You know, you go back and the jokes just fall flat. But at this point, we've had so much more development of the time travel genre,
right?
Since this movie, that the jokes, those jokes actually hit a little better than they did then.
Yeah, they do. They do. Because, and like you said, you know, we've Doctor Who's come back and become huge since this movie came back out. And, you know, Star Trek, like, at least 3 of the shows have worried about time travel, and one got pretty damn in depth on it. You know, and it's, yeah, but they've. Time travel, it's kind of been a reoccurring theme in sci fi.
Right, right.
And it's. So when you give a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge to, like, oh. Can't do that.
Can't do that. Oh, we did do that. Ha ha.
Yeah. Ha, we don't care.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's no, you know, little green man in a big black trench coat to come out and like corral them and make things right in the world.
Paradox spirits don't come out.
Yeah.
And, and make this whole thing really, really dark. Yeah.
Or that really strange Star Trek where they had literally like the time police come out.
Like the vegan police in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking vegans.
I mean, there are Doctor Who episodes, I believe, where like time wraiths come after them or something
because they start messing with the timeline.
Yeah, because the timeline starts getting fucked up. So, but I don't remember if that's Doctor Who or something else. It seems like it should be something else because it was dark as shit. But
Doctor Who can also get that way sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it seems like I don't know what else it would be. So anyway, strange things were afoot outside the Cirque.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good name for an album. Actually, I'm gonna have to write that one down in the book. Strange things
were
afoot
at the Cirque.
I
misquoted it. Ha ha.
But it
just
to
see
yeah.
if you knew.
Nah, you've seen that movie a lot more than I have. But no, they've, I don't know, was this one of George Carlin's, like, first, like, big movie roles? Because he really didn't get into movies until kind of later in his career.
I mean, it wasn't really a big role, even. It was...
No.
It was a...
He was the
pop
most...
in a couple of times.
Yeah, he was the most major of minor characters.
Yeah. I'm sure he was in other stuff. It just doesn't, I don't know, he was off the top of my head.
He was in Dogma.
Oh yeah, but that's far after, you know.
Yeah,
that's 2000s. So
was Dogma that? I thought Dogma was like 97. Sorry,
yeah, 97, 98, somewhere in there. Yeah, 96.
Yeah, that sounds close.
No.
Alanis Morissette had to be famous.
Yeah,
first.
97 or 98.
Yeah, 97, 98.
Yeah, because I saw it. I saw Were we talking about Dogma? Dogma was the first episode.
Yeah, it was.
I saw Dogma while I was on leave. So I was in the U.S. I was on leave from Japan. I was in between Greenville and Toledo, Ohio, because my friend Eric lives in Toledo. And I stopped in Richmond, Kentucky, and went to the theater and watched Dogma.
You had to have been the only person there.
No, there were like three other people in the theater, and none of them laughed when I laughed.
Oh.
And it was a bit awkward. Yeah. None of them laughed at the entire platypus sequence at the beginning, and I knew I was I knew I was going to be the only one laughing when no one was laughing in the silence as the words are coming up and they're jokes that are hitting for me.
Right. Yeah, Western Kentucky is not really
Eastern Kentucky.
Oh God, that's even worse.
Yeah. Actually, Richmond, Kentucky is the home of Eastern Kentucky University.
I see.
So, yeah.
Eastern Kentucky especially does not seem like a big target market for the movie Dogma.
No. I went to kindergarten in Richmond, so you know, it jumped out to me as I should stop here just because I wish. Because I lived here for 3 years when I was very small.
Yeah. I know how to get to the movie theater.
Did not know how to get to the movie theater, but you know. But the nice people in the hotel could guide me through there.
Yeah.
If you live somewhere, you know, in preschool, kindergarten, and the beginning of the first grade, and left and never came back, you don't know where the movie theater is.
I don't know. I lived in Spartanburg until I got away and went to Charleston for school.
Yeah.
So I know how to get to the movie theater in
Spartanburg. Right.
All of them.
You have vague memories of things, but you don't really know where they are.
The town doesn't... It looks familiar, but unfamiliar at the same time.
Yeah.
But it... I don't know. I enjoyed the movie. The movie was good.
Yes.
This whole like surfer sort of weird dude thing, I think, is that coming back? Like, is that becoming popular again?
I don't know. I am not a part of this resurgence. If it is, sorry, I did that.
It's okay. There's just so much dog hair. It's like a mat. Go out there. We're recording this from a different location.
Yes. We are not in the normal man cave. We are in the dining room.
Yes, where the door is, where the dogs can go out.
Because Joe is preparing for his rotator cuff surgery.
It's not rotator cuff.
Ah.
It's my labrum.
Ah, okay.
The thing that holds your shoulder joint together?
The majora or the minora?
That's labia.
Oh, okay.
Did not tear the head. Been known to tear through a couple of those, but I don't have one myself. Ha ha!
Are you sure? Okay.
I hope so. My wife would be very disappointed.
Maybe.
Definitely. No, it's the labrum's what holds your shoulder joint in place.
Right. Yeah.
And so I've got a big rip through mine.
Yay.
So, not yay.
Well, at least you played soccer, so you don't need your arms.
I'm a goalkeeper. I need my arms. Actually, and that was it. Like, my doctor was like, well, if you never want to do anything athletic ever again, you never want to lift weights, work out, do whatever, I wouldn't have surgery done.
This is your excuse.
No, because the recovery, like, honest to God, takes like 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
But he said, your biggest risk is actually if you were to fall and like try to catch yourself with your left hand, you're going to pop your shoulder clean out of socket and it's going to hurt. Like, you're going to shred that what's left of your labrum.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to have surgery.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd probably go ahead and get it done.
Well, I mean, one of the most dangerous things you can do when you're falling is to throw your hands out.
Yeah.
To
but it's also the first thing everybody does.
Your instinct is to throw your hands out and protect your face. But actually, the best thing you can do is just kind of keep them at your side and let your entire body take the brunt of the hit, because it spreads it out and makes it less painful. So you don't end up with, you know, little lacerations on your palms.
Yeah, well, what I'm worried about is my head coming down and cracking the pavement.
But that's probably not going to happen.
But the one time it does, I could die. That's a critical thing.
Bah.
By my ass.
So just make it a roll. Just yeah. put your hands behind your head and just roll through it.
Oh, I mean, like if I start like
I'm sure
falling back.
I'm sure this is a lovely, lovely radio for anybody listening. No, nobody cares terrible. About this shit. No,
if you're falling, don't put your hands down.
But we're 15 minutes in, and we're having worse conversation about this than we did about whatever that crap was we watched last time.
Yes, the episode that shall not be named, except it was named.
No, I really don't remember what we talked about last time.
Really? Jackass.
Okay, yeah. That's right.
You hated it. I didn't think it was as funny as I used to.
There you go. This one's good, so we can't figure out what to talk about because it was all good.
It was all good, but it's... But as weird as it sounds, like the movie was good, but there wasn't like a song... Or like the, because I mean, but, this was late 80s. Yeah. This was prime soundtrack season.
Yeah, I mean, they had,
you know, but this wasn't a
right,
great soundtrack.
Right, but the second one had an excellent
soundtrack. The second one
soundtrack.
Had a great soundtrack.
But yeah, the first one was, yeah, nobody knew if it was going to be marketable at all.
Yeah, so. This was definitely like a lo-fi, low-budget, like, what was this based off of? Was it like a cartoon series or?
No. It was just, it just came out of nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah, this was a brand new, brand new thing with unknown actors for the most part, other than Carlin.
Yeah, that's true. George Carlin was the big actor in this film.
And Lost Boys came out after, so Alex, right around that time,
yeah,
it was Lost Boys, which is the other thing that Alex Winter was in.
Right, before he disappeared.
Yeah, before
he
disappeared.
I don't even know what Alex Winter does anymore.
He's directing now.
Okay,
he was on Nerdist a couple of times.
Nice.
He's directing documentaries and stuff. He's
cool.
Alex Winter is doing Alex Winter, and
I see.
That's all he needs to do.
Yeah. Why not?
Royalty checks.
Yeah. Bill and Ted comes on TV all the time. So does Lost Boys. So.
Yeah. So I'm sure he's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure he is too.
He's not money hungry like that damn Keanu.
Keanu Reeves gives like most of his like movie checks to charity, doesn't he? Like,
oh no, I'm sure.
I think he does.
I was just being a dick.
Okay,
I can do that.
Don't be a dick to Keanu.
Okay, is that the cat in the Key and Peele movie? I never saw that one.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
But yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. I never found Key and Peele all that funny. Like, I mean, they were good.
Yeah.
But they weren't like, oh my God, this is... Here's the thing. Like, I think Key and Peele tried to be like the natural successor to Chappelle's Show.
Okay.
And it just wasn't... It didn't have the same kind of genius behind it. Like, they're good at what they do. But Chappelle in his prime was on a whole nother level.
Right.
And so it just kind of looked like a... Like, even Dave Chappelle talked about it in his comeback comedy special. He was like, I'm sitting here at home watching a bunch of other dudes try to do my show. That's bullshit.
That's some bullshit.
That's some bullshit. And
it's like, Comedy Central needs to fill this slot. Yeah. We didn't know Dave Chappelle was going to be gone.
Right.
So.
Well, we had this black guy comedy half hour.
Yeah.
Let's throw that. We got two more black guys?
Yeah.
Black guy comedy half hour.
Yeah. Anyway...
We're checking boxes here and targeting demos.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah, I mean, some of their stuff's good, but...
Yeah, but...
It just doesn't... Yeah. I feel you. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, outside of the Aaron sketch, there wasn't really anything that holds up quite like Chappelle. Because, I mean, that was the beauty of Chappelle's Show. It held up so well.
Well, and the great thing about Dave Chappelle is he can get on stage and do 3 hours of comedy and everything hits, and then the next night he'll come out and do 3 other hours of comedy.
And nothing hits.
And either nothing hits or he slightly tweaked 20 minutes of the night before and mixes that in kind of seamlessly. And yeah, I mean, people don't understand that stand-up comedy, when to get to that 1 hour special at the end of the year, basically the entire rest of the year is workshopping and trying to figure out what works
what is
and
my
what doesn't.
Best 45
so,
minutes.
Yeah, so when you show up to a stand-up comedy show, you know, at a random point in that year, you're getting
one of two things.
You're getting rough.
You're either getting pretty much a verbatim of their you know, special if they've just released it.
But usually, as soon as they do the special, they trash it.
Huh.
Yeah, they throw it out. Most of them, unless they're doing a countrywide tour to promote it.
Yeah,
which doesn't really happen that much.
And
you
do the same set every night.
But most comedians, they're working to build their hour.
Yeah.
And so that if you see them on a random night, they're workshopping. They're going, okay, they're throwing shit at the wall, seeing what sticks.
Right.
If they're later into the process, they're kind of refining the jokes and feeling out what delivery works and what doesn't. And so if you look at it that way as a more evolving process, as opposed to I'm there to see the funny guy and his finished product, then, but you only see one night, you only see one glimpse, so you don't know.
Right. Well, and the beauty of that, like what makes that cool, mm-hmm. is that you could be there for like the genesis of something special, like
right.
their iconic bit or whatever right. their joke
and,
is.
And a lot of times stuff like that will happen organically at X show
right.
in whatever city.
And then just the comedian has to make a mental note of it and try to grab that lightning in a bottle
exactly,
real quick.
Exactly.
And, okay.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they'll do crowd work. You know, some of them will, you know, crowd work is built in, but they'll do crowd work, and sometimes that crowd work becomes a bigger bit that is built later on.
Yeah. There's actually there's a show that I think it's on like CISO, mm-hmm. which is one of the little comedy channels.
Yeah, which is one of those other channels that they want us to pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is like, it's just a whole show where just comedians get up there and do crowd work, and it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, it is absolutely funny because these guys just go up there and just start riffing on people and telling jokes and, you know.
Well, and this is the second time I've thrown in Nerdist. If you listen to any the Nerdist episodes where he's talking to a comedian, or if it's one of the few hostful episodes where it's just him and his friends, they actually talk about the craft of stand-up a lot.
Yeah, because it really is. It's a lot more in depth than people realize.
Right, right.
You think, oh, it's just a funny guy getting up there, grabbing a microphone, and doing his shtick.
No,
it's really not.
Yeah, and that's the people that fail badly are the ones, you know, the local guys who think, okay, I was funny in high school.
Oh, it's open mic night.
Yeah,
I can just go
run up there and just be me and just be hilarious. And it
that
does
guy's
not
never
work.
Funny.
Yeah.
That guy's never funny. I've been to enough open mics. That guy's terrible and I never want to see that guy again, but that guy's always
fucking there.
But he's
always there.
He's always there.
And why does he always wear that hat? Anyway.
He's had a few too many whiskeys and he thinks he's the funniest dude in the world.
And he had enough whiskeys where he won't remember not to do this next time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's awful. But no, there really is a craft to it. Like comedy in general, it's to me it's as hard to be a funny person
right.
as it is to be a serious actor.
And it comes down to timing for a lot of it.
Oh yeah.
And delivery, and a lot of times you have to work on that delivery and things that seem organic, even in movies. You know, for the best scenes in a movie, we took 15 different takes on this scene and pulled, you know, different parts of different takes to make what feels like this organic moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, and there's a lot to be, I mean, you, there's a mental... Like, there's a gift aspect to it. To be mm-hmm. witty and be, like, that observational kind of humor. That takes something. Like,
right.
That's...
Well, but it also, you know, for stand-up, you are your own editor.
Right.
With movies, you have people who are editors who know how to adjust the timing, how to make the scene flow better, just in the editing process.
Right.
Whereas if you're a stand-up, you're editing it, you're piecing together exactly how I need to deliver this.
And it's funny because a lot of those guys are usually like failed comics or, you know, people that have tried or writers or, you know.
Well, I mean, but that's the career progression for a stand-up comic is you either go on to become a writer or, you know, a writer on some show. You know, very few of them go on to be the face on a show.
Yeah.
The Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You know, but... Most of them go on to be a part of a writing room where you're just bouncing ideas off people.
Well, it's it's not like 30 Rock where, you know, it was like
a writing room about
a writing room for a
comedy about a writing room.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's funny because a lot of the guys in the writing room were the actual writers for the show, you know.
And yeah, that works that way.
Yeah, yeah. Judah Friedlander wrote a lot of those episodes, you know. And Tracy Morgan just did Tracy Morgan.
Yes, yes.
Always do Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
But they've, I was listening to a comedian's book, actually, and he said, you know, the goal of a comic, like, is to get a development deal.
Yeah.
Where a TV network pays you, like, $100,000-$150,000 for a year.
To develop your ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to tour. You don't have to go do anything. You just stay at home, and you develop concepts.
Yes.
And then, you know, sometime during the process, you usually pitch a pilot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if it hits, it hits. And if it doesn't, maybe they'll give you another development deal. If the pilot was good but not great,
We like that concept.
But, why don't you go back home and work on that a little bit? You know, here's another $150,000. You know, and even then, it's still cheaper than... She doesn't need to do that. But,
Yeah,
just go home and kind of work on it some more. And, you know, he said, those were the best 2 years of my life. Like, just getting to hang out at the house, making good money to just come up with ideas.
Yep, yep.
And none of his stuff ever got picked up, and he doesn't care.
So basically what we're saying is, you know, you take a bunch of historic characters and throw them in a mall in the late 80s, and, that wouldn't play out the way it does in the movie.
No, mainly because there wouldn't be a lot of people in the mall now.
I'm not big on segues today. I'm sorry. Yeah,
no. So let's fucking stop that and go to something else. Well, no, if they did it at a mall now, like if it were half the malls in the country, nobody would be in there and they'd just wander around wondering what all these shops are.
See, the funny thing is somebody listening to this thinks I did an awful job editing just there, and that I didn't just go completely off left field while
there is no editing in this podcast.
The only editing is for levels and stuff like that.
Yeah, we sound edit, we don't cut edit.
Yes. And I believe that part will probably be that first little 10-second bit that comes at the beginning before the theme. Yeah. Inside baseball.
Yay.
Speaking of which, how about that World Series?
Holy crap. Yeah. No. No, I mean, in all seriousness, like I'm not a Dodgers fan, I'm not an Astros fan, but I am a baseball fan,
I am an A's fan, and I am rooting against the Dodgers because I am an A's fan.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I am rooting against Yuri Gurriel because I'm a human being. So well, I don't know what to do now. As long as Kirk Gibson does not come out of that dugout, I'm okay.
Yeah, I know, right?
I will not be Gurriel, weeping on the floor.
What he did was extremely insensitive, but he's been in America all of like a year.
I know.
Like,
I know.
He grew up in communist Cuba. They probably don't have like the same social norms and standards.
Correct.
Like, I'm not trying to justify it, but he really is a dude from a different place.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that joke probably isn't as offensive. Like, I'm sure he is wondering, what's the, you know, huh?
What do you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, he's from a more homogenous culture.
Right.
And
where, I mean, yeah. But it's true. I mean, and even, you know, on the other team, Yasiel Puig went through some of the same stuff where he's just kind of culturally insensitive because he's from a different culture.
Now he's just, you know, completely gone off the deep end. It doesn't do anything that can relate to anything else. He'll just lick a bat, you know.
No, he licks bats. He has Dodger blue hair, which is looks really weird on a black guy. And, he just kind of... He's become like Manny Ramirez without all the endearing qualities. He's just weird. Like, Manny was weird, but he was sort of lovable.
It's just Manny being Manny. Yes,
right,
yes,
like,
yes.
Manny Ramirez is the dude that would, like, try to catch a ball over near the seats and, like, eat a nacho out of your plate, you know? Ha ha, he's Manny.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that, what did he took a leak in the...
Yeah, he went into the scoreboard.
He went inside the wall in Boston and took a leak.
Yeah.
And then came back out. Yeah. He was, you know, ha ha, that's endearing.
It's like, and his... You know, his defense improved while he was in there.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't in the field.
Exactly.
We were better in left field for that at bat because Manny was in the wall.
Yeah.
We
just...
Anyway.
But no, but no, it has. It's been a fantastic World Series. I was actually a little let down last night.
Because it was 13-12.
Well, no, well, because there was somebody one, had
there
a lead.
Was one lead change.
Somebody had a lead and kept it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That hasn't happened all series.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's looking like home field advantage may help the Dodgers. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the last thing that they needed was for their late inning relievers to get their confidence back.
Well, but the thing is, their closer went in for two innings.
That's
and
true.
That may bite them.
Well, that was, I mean, it bit.
But it's what they had to do.
Right.
You know, to well, ensure yeah, they got two games.
But that's the disadvantage of being down in game six,
right,
is
right.
You have to burn all your cards
right.
on game six and just hope you've got enough. Like, right. Kershaw's going to pitch the eighth and ninth inning tonight.
Right.
There's no way you can't tell me he won't.
Right.
He will.
And it's going to be, and the Astros are going to have freaking.
They'll have Keuchel.
No, they'll have Morton and McCullers.
Yeah.
For and that's the first seven.
Yeah,
seven or eight.
Yeah,
and then yeah, they'll
have
pull,
Colin McHugh.
They'll pull
Keuchel.
Whoever. They're not yeah. going to Ken Giles,
no.
even though he was the closer that got him there throughout the year. Yeah. But he has not been good.
No,
in the postseason.
They may combine like their other four starters to pitch damn nine innings.
Yeah.
Just go like 3-3, 2-1.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, tonight nobody's going three times through. Nobody's going to hit that third time through the order.
Nobody may hit second. They may hit the second.
I think McCullers and Morton will.
Yeah.
Morton will go through three or four, and then McCullers will go three or four, depending, and then that should get them into the late innings.
Yeah, but, it should. And I mean, but this is the day where...
But this is...
This is the day where you warm up two starting pitchers.
Right.
And but, I mean, if the first guy comes out and he obviously doesn't have it, you can just go to the other guy.
Right. But, you know, and the Dodgers have Yu Darvish coming off a horrible game three.
Yeah.
He only pitched two-thirds of an inning. And they're just kind of hoping that they get something good out of their starter, and if they don't, they're kind of hosed.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, they burned through everybody last night.
No, they didn't. Did they?
The Dodgers?
No. They
will have Alex Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Is Alex Wood starting tonight?
I mean, they made it through... They only burnt through, like, three pitchers last night.
No, they had one dude who only pitched... He only got, like, two outs.
Well, that was Maeda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, I mean that was, yeah, they had four pitchers go. That's
okay.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
But you did burn your closer for two innings.
Right. That's yeah.
I mean, I think they threw their setup guy too.
No.
No, they didn't throw their setup guy.
They got two. They got two to Jansen without. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we've gone long enough jumping all over the fucking place. We discussed a little bit of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and a whole bunch of other stuff. Joe shat on Key and Peele. That's all him.
I kind of did, yeah.
Yeah, send all your hate mail to...
It's fine. I can
tell. And so next time we'll be jumping off of...
We're going to watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
It is on Netflix. I'm watching through the entire show now for the first time. The three episodes I've picked are... Sweet D's Dating a Retarded Person.
Okay.
Season 3, Episode 9. Charlie Goes America All Over Everybody's Ass.
Okay.
And Charlie McDennis, The Game of Games.
Okay.
Which are three hilarious episodes.
I've watched a good portion of Season 1.
Season 1 doesn't have Danny DeVito in it.
Right.
Danny DeVito changes the whole game.
Yeah, I've watched a good portion of Season 1 and got pulled off on something else at some point. So
To me, the best Season 1 episode is the underage drinking.
Well, you didn't say that one, so...
I know.
Fine.
Because these other three...
So we'll be jumping off of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia next time. And
I may still be doped up on pain meds, so that'll be a fun episode.
Yeah. So I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram. And
I'm the Joe You Know on Twitter. I'm that Joe You Know on Instagram. My Twitter got hacked. That was funny.
Okay.
And it's funny because I didn't know, but all my friends kept like, they sent me messages. They were like, hey, bro.
Why are you selling
when
this?
When did you become a chick with like porn links? I was like, I don't know.
It's
just, my thing now.
Just happened.
This is just who I am.
Gotta make the green.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll talk at you next time. Tear down.